If the sermon is the main meal and a homily is an appetizer, I think we've been pretty well fed so far this morning. Thanks be to God for the measure of healing he's given our pastor. It's been so good to see him back in the pulpit. I invite you to turn now to our scripture reading for today. We've got two different sections of scripture from the book of 1 Corinthians. The first one is going to be 1 Corinthians 10, verses just 16 and 17, and then moving on to chapter 11, verses 23 through 26, where the Word of God says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread." And from chapter 11, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again for your word. And we ask now that you would give us minds that would understand, hearts that would take hold, ears that would hear all that you have to say to your people. To the praise of your glorious grace, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the night of the Last Supper, the Lord's Last Supper, Jesus and his disciples were gathering around celebrating the Passover, recalling as they did every year that time when God sent the angel of death to kill the firstborn in the firstborn son of every family that did not have the blood of the sacrificial lamb on their doorpost. Now, traditionally, when the Passover is celebrated, even today, a child will ask the question, "Why is this meal different from any other?" It's a part of their regular practice. And it's a good question for us to ask. Why is this meal different, special, different from every other? Because there is something about gathering around the table on a communion Sunday with the table set, the elements all in their place, bread and wine, often a quiet sense of reverence. We can ask this question, what's special about this gathering? What's it really all about when we take the bread and drink from the cup? And Paul answers these questions in his letter to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 10 and 11. And of course, as this is a very full service, we have time just to look briefly at least three things that are happening when we come to the table. First, there's a proclamation of the past. A proclamation of the past. For he says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death." And what Paul is really saying here is that when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, there's a proclamation that Jesus Christ has died for sins, that his body has been given, his blood has been shed for us. It's a proclamation, a sermon, so to speak. But it's not just a sermon that we hear, but one which engages our senses, right? A sermon that we see, we touch, we smell, we taste. It's as if Christ is saying, "I want you to understand that what I'm saying, and so I'm going to have it acted out before you every time that you meet in this way. With a visual proclamation before your eyes, one that you can see, touch, taste, hold, in the breaking of the bread, in the drinking of the cup, of what I have done for you on the cross." And so as we look at the table and we see the bread and as we see the cup, we understand that this is a message from Christ reminding us of all he's done for us in his suffering and his death. This great sermon of the Lord's table. James Denny, a Scottish theologian from the early 20th century, he used to say that there was only one way that he ever envied a Roman Catholic priest, and that was in the opportunity it would have given him to hold up a crucifix before the congregation and say, "God loves you like this." But he didn't need to envy the Catholic priest, right? Because Christ has already given us, in a sense, a crucifix, right? As the bread is broken, as the wine is poured out, Jesus is saying to us, "I love you like this." The Catechism says that Christ wants to teach us by this supper, that as bread and wine sustain us in this temporal life, so his crucified body and shed blood are true food and drink for our souls to eternal life. And so, as we share it together, we have proclaimed before our eyes the dying love of our Lord Jesus Christ for sinners such as us. So, a proclamation of the past. A proclamation of the past. Then, Paul says there's more. He says it's a participation in Christ in the present. Chapter 10, verse 16. Verse 16 refers to the cup and the bread as the communion in the blood and body of Christ. A communion or participation in Christ. Now, earlier in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, Christ our Passover lamb is sacrificed for us, and so let us keep the feast. And I suspect he's thinking about how the Passover lamb is sacrificed for the salvation of Israel. And then the children of Israel, having been saved, would sit down together and eat the Passover lamb together, participating in the nourishment and the strength they would receive for the journey. The very thing that Jesus reminds us of when he says in John, unless you eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, there is no life in you. What's he talking about there? He's talking about himself as the Passover lamb. Not that we're saved by the eating and drinking, but that we're saved by participation, by communion, through faith in all that Jesus has done for us. We call this communion a sign, an outward sign of an inward grace. Again, the Catechism says that Christ wants to assure us by this visible sign and pledge, first, that through the working of the Holy Spirit we share in his true body and blood as surely as we receive with our mouth these holy signs in remembrance of him, and second, that all his suffering and obedience are as certainly ours as if we personally had suffered and paid for our sins. See, it's a sign. In many ways, it's a sign like the signs that we use when we express our love for one another, right? And our devotion to each other. And so when we come to church, we see each other and we shake hands sometimes. Sometimes we use a more intimate sign, right, to show that. And we hug each other, even sometimes even more intimately. Husbands and wives, that sort of thing. We'll kiss each other. What are we doing when we do these things? We're using signs to connect that love and devotion and trust to that we have to the things that the signs represent. And so here, as we sit at the Lord's table, we have these signs, the bread and the cup, the wine brought to us. And as we pass them to each other, what are we doing? We're receiving from the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ the signs that communicate his love to us. And we're proclaiming to one another, receive the signs of Jesus' dying love for you and respond to him in the love and the faith that he's given to you. Reach out and take his embrace and grace today and know that he's died for you. And that he loves you. Know it. And communion with him. And it's not just a sign. It's also a seal, as the Belgic Confession says. Because it gives us who believe and partake the assurance that we're loved by Christ so much that he gave his body and blood for us. It gives us the assurance that all the promises of the covenant and all the riches of the gospel are ours. It's amazing. And that even the blessings of salvation are ours in actual possession. And so, the Lord's Supper is a proclamation of the past. It's a participation in the present, a communion. And Paul tells us the Lord's Supper, lastly, is an anticipation of what will come. Chapter 11, verse 26. You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So, when we share the Lord's Supper, we're aware that this isn't it. This isn't the end. Oh, yeah, it can be amazing. It can be a joyous celebration, intimate, comforting, a communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not all. There is more. And so, as we sit at the Lord's table, we have an eye to what's been done to us, done for us in the past. We have our hearts reaching out to take hold of him now because he's present with us, showing his love to us in the present. And we also look forward to the future when he will come again in glory and gather all of his people from every tribe, tongue, and nation for what the Bible calls the marriage supper of the Lamb. Here at the table, we see Christ in the bread and wine. And it's a reminder that we don't see him now or know him as we will one day by grace and faith. And so it fixes our minds on the glory that's to come. You know, in my time in ministry, I've done more than a few weddings, officiated more than a few weddings. And one tradition that we have that I love is the rehearsal dinner, where the family gathers together, right? Closest friends and family together, and they share memories, and it's just such a joyous meal and celebration, expressing love for one another, and they celebrate. But everybody there knows that it's not all, right? That the rehearsal is not the end. It's only an anticipation of the really great celebration that's just a day away. right? That's yet to come. And friends, this is what the Lord's Supper is. It's a wedding rehearsal dinner in anticipation of that great day that's coming when the people of Christ will sit together at the marriage feast of the Lamb and see him face to face and be like him forever. And this is why we say at the Lord's Supper, take, take, take not just the bread, take not just the wine, but take Christ. Take Christ by faith and find the assurance of the forgiveness of sins flooding through your hearts. Find the joy of knowing his presence completely captivating you. Find the anticipation of an indescribable glory yet to come, filling you from heaven's future, and rejoice in the privilege of knowing Christ. May it be so for us today and for all God's people, to the praise of his glorious grace. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we praise you for the way in which you come to us as little children and speak to us in your word. And we thank you that you give us this visible expression of the dying love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, we pray today, to take him by faith, that we might be nourished unto eternal life. We pray it in his name. Amen.